In case you didn't know, it's the Sunday after Easter, right? So a lot of the flowers are gone. The pews are a little emptier. Families are on vacation. Our youth and advisors, God bless them all, are away in Memphis, Tennessee. The brass musicians have left. The choir, except these lovely four, have the Sunday off. Well, you get my point. It's the Sunday after Easter, and yet we're called to be Easter people, even though Easter is just a distant memory. You'll soon hear the story of Doubting Thomas, a story I would imagine some of you have heard before. I've preached this text before, and a few weeks ago when I was starting to plan for this Sunday, I'll admit, my first reaction was, I don't want to preach about Doubting Thomas again. But here I am, and you get to hear a story about Doubting Thomas. I was reading a lot of commentaries by smart people who have done a lot more biblical exegesis than myself, and I was particularly struck by one theologian who shared that maybe Doubting Thomas is really not as much of a doubter as a realist. I like it, but maybe Thomas all these years has gotten a really bad rap for being a doubter. He, like the other disciples, saw Jesus' life and then Jesus' death, saw Jesus nailed to a cross and then die. So why wouldn't Thomas want to see this risen Christ that everyone, the disciples, are talking about? Don't we all have doubts sometimes and want to see and touch and hear God in a very poignant way? I really believe that Thomas is genuine in his own desire to see Jesus whole again. So this passage, the Doubting Thomas, or the Realist Thomas, as I might affectionately call him from now on, remind us that faith is messy work and hard work, and that we aren't alone on the journey. We, Jesus' disciples, are on the journey together. And we need reminders that despite what is going on in our lives, individually and collectively, we are always invited to follow Jesus and to live in love.
First, a reading from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself for us a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
I've always wanted to be an optimist. You see, growing up in a house with a mom who is a true optimist through and through, I've always wanted to be one. But I gotta be real with you, I'm not. I don't think I'm a cynic, but I think I pretty strongly fall into the realist category. Although some people this morning were debating it with me, so I'm happy if you all think I'm an optimist. But so when I was reading these commentaries about realist Thomas, AKA doubting Thomas, I was really struck by this idea that maybe Thomas is just like this ordinary guy, disciple of Christ, which is pretty extraordinary, who just has a few doubts, has a few questions. See, I was the kid growing up that asked a lot of questions and thought deeply about things way before I think most children are thinking this deeply about things. But I love this idea that Thomas was just being real, was just looking at the world in a realistic way. You see, here are these disciples that have been with Jesus. Jesus has done all these amazing miracles, and the disciples have been there for the journey. And then they see what's coming, that the government is against Jesus. Jesus is too radical. And so that Jesus is going to be killed. And the disciples are there when Jesus is killed and hanging on a cross. And then the disciples are there when he dies. And so most of the disciples are gathered, granted, in a locked house when Jesus reappears. He's been resurrected. But Thomas, poor Thomas, wasn't there and didn't see Jesus firsthand. And then when the disciples come and say to Thomas, look, we saw Jesus. It's like, I don't know about that. I need to see Jesus to believe. I need to touch Jesus to believe. But if you look across the four Gospels and the resurrection stories, none of the people that see Jesus after he raises from the dead are like, hey, good to see you. We were waiting for you. Even though Jesus throughout the Gospel says he will come back, all of those disciples doubted a little bit. Resurrection people we are, and I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong, that some of you have had doubts and questions about your faith on your journey. As resurrection people, we're not claiming that we have all the answers or know exactly what to do and when to do it, but we're saying yes to the invitation to journey and to follow Christ. I can picture Jesus saying to each one of us, go. Even with your questions and your doubts, go. And talk like I talked, and serve like I served, and love like I loved. Go. As Easter and resurrection people, we have to go. Yeah, maybe there's a few less people in the pews or a few more less flowers around, but our call is to go. Matthew Hopwood is a young man, grew up in the UK, and always felt the call to do good in the world, to make the world a better place, but didn't quite know how to live that out. So one day he calls his mentor, who happens to be a theologian, and said, what is the purpose of my life? And his mentor says to him, it doesn't matter the path you're on, but it matters the heart you walk it in. It doesn't matter the path you're on, but it matters the heart you walk it in. And so that's what he actually did. He walked all over the UK and found people where they were, in the pub and in the train station, and talked to them and heard their stories, and then has since shared their stories. And through this process, he has learned that love is what connects people. Love, the heart, is what makes the journey meaningful and purposeful. So we don't always know kind of where our path is going, but our faith tells us that we have to walk it with our heart. We don't know who we'll meet along the way, or what great vistas we'll see, or what troubling areas we'll walk into. Wanda Dench sent a text message to her family in Thanksgiving 2016, so about a year and a half ago, sent a text message to her family telling them the details of their Thanksgiving dinner, when to come, and inviting them. She immediately got a response that said, "Who is this?" And she responded, "Your grandma." And the person said, "Send a picture." And she said, "Of who?" And he said, "You." And so this middle-aged white woman from Arizona sends a selfie of herself, and then she says, "Well, you send a selfie back." And this African-American 17-year-old boy from Phoenix, Arizona sends a selfie back. Whoops. Her grandson, who that text message was meant for, had changed his phone number 6 months earlier but forgot to tell his grandma. An unexpected invitation to a Thanksgiving meal. So, what do you do? Do you uninvite Jamel from Phoenix, Arizona, lived about 45 minutes away from Wanda? Do you uninvite him to Thanksgiving dinner? No. When Wanda was asked about it, no, there's always an open seat at my table, she said. And her grandson, who was supposed to get that invitation text, says that's true. The door is always open at his grandma's house. And so Jamel and Wanda met actually a week before that Thanksgiving, a year and a half ago, to get to know each other a little bit. In this conversation, Wanda invited Jamel's whole family to Thanksgiving, but only he ended up coming. And he was a little embarrassed. The meal went really well, but he forgot to bring the pumpkin pie. Wanda said, "No worries, there's enough food for everyone." Since then, a year and a half ago, they have talked every week, Jamel and Wanda. And guess who came to the Thanksgiving meal just 6 months ago? Jamel and his girlfriend this time. Because there was always an extra chair, an extra seat at Wanda's table. And this time he remembered the pumpkin pie. We don't know who we're gonna meet on our life's journey. We don't know when either an invitation that we meant to send or an accidental one will lead to connections and love and relationships. We don't know exactly where our path is heading. And yet we are told as people of faith that love is at the heart of it. That we are supposed to walk whatever path it is with our heart. Pretty big challenge. And sometimes for those of us who are realists or even cynics, struggle with this. But I can picture Jesus saying, "I love you all, no matter if you're a realist or a cynic or an optimist, and you need to go. Whether you have doubts or not, you need to talk like I talked, you need to serve like I served, you need to love like I loved. Go. Go from this place out into the world." Mark was cleaning his car, and he was a self-proclaimed cynic, and he was just cleaning his car and minding his own business. And he had just gone through the car wash and was drying it off in this big parking lot. And he looks up, and across the parking lot, he sees a man, a little dirty, his clothes a little disheveled, looks like he hasn't shaved in a really long time. And you see, Mark in his life has talked poorly about people who struggle. And so the whole time that he sees this guy across the parking lot, he says, he's just going to come over and bother me. Because you see, he was parked right near the bus stop. And so the man meanders over. And the whole time, Mark is thinking, he's just going to ask me for money. I don't want to give him money. I don't want to be bothered. He's just going to ask me for money. And he sits down, this man, near Mark, doesn't say anything, then looks over and says, that's a nice car. And Mark says, thank you. Then a little voice in Mark's head says, you should ask him if he needs help. And the minutes of silence grow longer and longer, and that little voice inside Mark's head says, you should really ask him if he needs help. His beard looked like it could use a little trimming, looked like he hadn't showered in a while. That little voice kept saying, just ask him if he needs help. And so Mark opened his mouth and said, do you need help? And that homeless man didn't miss a beat and said, don't we all? Don't we all? Mark dug deep in his pocket and gave him a lot of money and was reminded to come off his high horse with his nice car and money to spare, because don't we all need a little help? Don't we all need a friend? We aren't gonna get this faith thing right. We aren't gonna be able to be perfect even if we try. Faith is messy and life is messy. We're gonna have doubts and we're gonna have questions. And yet through it all, Jesus says, I love you. And Jesus extends that invitation, come, follow me. And when we say yes, then Jesus says, go. Go out into the world and talk like I talk and love like I love and serve like I serve. Doesn't matter if you have doubts or questions, go. Jesus has the last word. Jesus invites us, no matter the path, to walk it with our heart. And Jesus invites us to leave an extra chair at the table, because you never know who you'll accidentally invite or really invite. Friends, it's a big invitation, and we have to say yes, because the world needs us. Jesus needs us. And Jesus' call is clear. Go. Talk like I talked, serve like I served, and love like I loved. Go.